Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back with me, Amanda. Today, we will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we are going to present you some segments beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with news. Stay tuned to us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President emphasizes the importance of evacuation. Vice President candidate Ma'ruf Amin to optimize the strategy of advancing culture, while Vice President candidate Sandiaga Uno says culture boosts economy. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo expressed his deepest condolences for the victims of the flash flood which hit Sentani, Jayapura Regency, Papua on Saturday night, March 16. The disaster caused more than 50 casualties. Based on the report of the Cabinet Secretariat's website, President Joko Widodo, after attending declaration and socialization of traffic safety, told journalists that he had received the report from head of the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB, Doni Monardo, regarding the flash flood. Right after hearing the news, President Joko Widodo immediately instructed head of BNPB to directly monitor the affected areas and coordinate the evacuation of victims. President Joko Widodo also called for more details about the causes of the disaster as the preventive way to anticipate such disaster in the future. According to President Joko Widodo, the information can provide input for the government to establish policy on the management of upstream in Sentani and other regions across Indonesia. Indonesian Vice Presidential Candidate number 01, Ma'ruf Amin, perceived that culture has never become the priority of the national development for decades. Cultural policies, both through financial support and programs, has not been optimized. Ma'ruf Amin said that Indonesian nation is supposed to develop strategies in advancing the national culture. Therefore, his side would optimize the strategies. It was conveyed by Ma'ruf Amin during the third round of presidential debate 2019 in Jakarta on Sunday, March 17, quoted by Republika Online. Ma'ruf Amin added that he and Joko Widodo would keep carrying out effort to preserve the national culture. Furthermore, his side would promote Indonesian culture overseas so that Indonesian culture can be acknowledged and developed globally. Meanwhile, Vice Presidential Candidate number 02, Sandiaga Uno, expressed his criticism for the current government, which have not paid much attention to social and cultural issues. According to Uno, the development of human capital and culture must also be the priority of government. It was said by Sandiaga Uno during the third round of presidential debate in Jakarta on Sunday, March 17. Sandiaga Uno viewed that the government could optimize the development of social affairs and culture to boost the economy of Indonesia, for example, through education and business world. Sandiaga exemplified that curriculum at university must be aimed at building the sense of belonging to Indonesian culture and encouraging students to improve their potentials. Furthermore, Sandiaga Uno wrote that he would improve the welfare of contract teachers who have been working with part-time employment stages. Sandiaga Uno promised to promote contract teachers who have been working for many years under part-time employment stages to become full-time teachers with permanent employment stages. Deputy Chairman of the People's Consultative Assembly, Mahyudin, gave his highest appreciation for the presence of disabled people in the socialization of four pillars of MPR. It was remarked by Mahyudin when disseminating information on Pancasila or the Five States Principles, 1945 Constitution, the Unitary State of the Republic of Indonesia, and the country's motto, Unity in Diversity or Bhinneka Tunggal Ika, to Indonesian Female Entrepreneurs Association, young people and 30 disabled people in Samarinda, East Kalimantan on Sunday, March 17. According to Mahyudin, the event not only gave insight on the four pillars, but also raised people's awareness of the unity and integrity of Indonesian nation. Raising people's awareness of maintaining the integrity of Indonesian nation is required to prevent disintegration. Mahyudin affirmed that Pancasila has united Indonesia amid the diversity of its people. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Documentation and Scientific Information Center, Indonesian Institute of Sciences LIPI, opened collaboration opportunity with various parties to accelerate digitalization of sciences or research. This was said by the acting head of the LIPI Scientific and Information Center, Hendro Subagio, in a public discussion, Transforming Library in the Era of Industrial Revolution 4.0, in Jakarta on Monday, March 18. Hendro Subagio said that cooperation in the field of data became important to encourage the exchange of metadata so that data sources could complement each other. He said the biggest obstacle in driving the acceleration of digitalization was infrastructure and human resources. If the center gets 100 scanners and 200 employees, digitizing of the last 5 years or decades of scientific works can be done. Digitalization is important since the digitally accessed information needs will be more increased. Director General of Small and Medium Enterprises at the Indonesian Industry Ministry, Gati Wibawaningsi, said that Indonesian furniture products attracted international consumers as many of them enthusiastically participated in Jogja International Furniture and Craft Fair Indonesia 2019 or JIFINA 2019. JIFINA 2019 is the fourth biggest furniture expo in Asia. It was stated by Gati Wibawaningsi on her press release quoted by Antara in Jakarta on Sunday, March 17. Therefore, Ministry of Industry through the Directorate General of Small and Medium Enterprises keep facilitating Indonesian SMEs in furniture and craft sector to be able to participate in JIFNA 2019. The effort could develop local small and medium enterprises and provide them better access to promote their products to global market. Several new countries appeared as new buyers in the expo held in Yogyakarta from March 13 to 16, namely Burundi, Scotland, Lebanon, Belarus, and some European Union countries. The last item, the Indonesian students in China received the award from the Indonesian Museum of Record MURI for their achievement of sending more than 2,000 postcards to Indonesian elementary students across Indonesia. It was conveyed by Ahmad Shafi'i from the Center for Media and Communication at Indonesian Students Association in China to Antara in Beijing on Monday, March 18. In line with the purpose of the event, Ahmad Shafi'i's site targeted to send 1,001 postcards from Indonesian students and citizens in China for Indonesian students in various regions across Indonesia. Unexpectedly, they could surpass the target, namely they were able to send 2,018 postcards. Thousands of postcards were written by Indonesian students and citizens in China. To motivate students of 23 schools spanning from Sumatra to Papua, the students who received the postcard enthusiastically welcomed the messages by writing the senders back. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian President Joko Widodo emphasizes the importance of evacuation. Vice President candidate Ma'ruf Amin to optimize the strategy of advancing culture, while Vice President candidate Sandiaga Uno says culture boosts economy. That was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia. Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our good program, Commentary. Well, today's topic is debate on vice presidential candidates. The debate on vice presidential candidates was held in Jakarta on Sunday night. Many observers consider the debate to be flat. However, the debate took place smoothly. The debate on vice presidential candidates, who were not accompanied by each presidential candidate, highlighted major issues, such as education, employment, health, and socio-culture. The issues raised are essential now, considering the situation and condition of the issues abroad have spread rapidly throughout the world through the role of information and media. In the debate, Vice President Candidate number 01, Ma'ruf Amin, encourages the development of pilot companies in the supply of employment related to the employment issue. Meanwhile, in the education sector, he will revitalize vocational schools and polytechnics that may lead to create a ready-made and educated workforce and the development of national research bodies. For health issue, he will continue to improve and expand the Healthy Indonesian Card and other health programs that had been launched into the community. Ma'ruf Amin also offers three new cards, namely KIP for University Student Card, Fully Employment, and Cheap Basic Necessities. Meanwhile, Vice Presidential Candidate number 02 offers ideas to raise the fund of research and technology by encouraging collaboration with the business world. In education, he proposes the abolition of national action, and this is replaced by a program of talent and interest. In the field of employment, Sandiaga Uno will encourage micro, small, and medium enterprises to absorb employment and link and match between the world education and the world of work. Vice President O2 also offers one card, which is the Identity Card or KTP, that can be accessed by all programs. Apart from the many parties assessing the spread of the vice presidential debate, at least the ideas of both vice presidential candidates had been able to prove that they are ready to accompany their partners. The ideas of debate can also show that their capacity is not just a presidential counterpart. However, the debate did not touch the media of information as a supporting factor in the issues highlighted. In fact, information media through social media can at least support the implementation of issues that run well in terms of distribution, control, and evaluation. While listening, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Listener, we begin to the next segment, Today in History, in which we will give you information about historical events happened on March 18.
Voice of Indonesia.
Our regular program Today in History starts from an event on March 18, 1925, when the most deadly three-state tornado in the United States of America. For more than 3.5 hours, the three-state tornado became the most deadly disaster which destroyed the mainland of United States of America on March 18, 1925. The tornado killed 700 people and destroyed more than 15,000 houses in Illinois, Indiana, and Missouri. After the disaster, the local government began to develop a warning system of tornado, which is hoped to be able to push death rate if the disaster occurs again. The next event was in 1937, about the explosion at New London School. On March 18, 1937, an explosion occurred at New London School, Texas, due to natural gas leak. This explosion destroyed New School London, a community at Rusk County, which was earlier known as London. The disaster, which killed more than 295 students and teachers, made the most deadly school disaster in the U.S. history. The last event was in 2000. Chiang Shui-bian was elected as President of the Republic of China. Chiang Shui-bian was President of the Republic of China for 2000 to 2008 period. The result of general elections on March 18, 2000 made controlling of power and politics of the Republic of China or Taiwan change hands. In 1998, Chiang Shui-bian was defeated to compete with candidate of Kuomintang to occupy again mayor's chair of Taipei. Because of the failure, Chiang Shui-bian won presidential general election in 2000. He became the most president of Taiwan from party of Kuomintang. Kuomintang party itself has ruled in Taiwan for more than 55 years. Chiang Shui-bian and Annette Lu Lai-siu-lin were inaugurated as president and vice president of Taiwan on May 20, 2000. Listener, that was Today in History.
Hari terus berganti, banyak yang telah terjadi. Dirimu kian pasti, segala kan kurangi. Oh, bila esok menjelang, bahagia pun kan datang. Bintang di angkasa
ku tuju, segala angan dan harapan. Tempatku padu, cita-cita dan impianku. Tempatku tuju, setiap langkah yang berarti tetap menyatu dalam hasrat dan tujuanku selalu. Waktu terus menguji,
waktu terus menguji
tekad yang ku miliki. Oh, dan kini telah terbukti. Oh, segala kan ku gapai, rintangan ku hadapi, cobaan ku lalui. Semua telah ku dapati, tetaplah bersinar gemilang.
Tempatku tuju, segala angan dan harapan. Tempatku padu, cita-cita dan impian.
Tempatku tuju, setiap langkah yang berarti tetap menyatu dalam hasrat dan tujuanku selalu. Oh,
hari Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, that was the first song entitled Gemilang Sang Bairan. You still tune on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, for the next segment, we will give you information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our good program, My Indonesia. Well, today's topic of My Indonesia is Tanjung Klayang Special Economic Zone ready to become a world-class destination. The Tanjung Klayang Tourism Special Economic Zone was officially opened by President Joko Widodo last Thursday. This area is prepared to become a world-class destination and expected to contribute more foreign exchange from tourism sector. The Tourism Special Economic Zone, located on Belitung Island, Bangka Belitung Province, was built in an area of 324 hectares wide, and investment target is worth 10.3 trillion rupiah. The inauguration of the Special Economic Zone was marked by the signing of an inscription by President Joko Widodo. In a press release on Thursday, President Joko Widodo said that the essence of the Special Economic Zone contributes to national economic growth. The president said that he also plans to open other new special economic zones. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Darmin Nasution said that the Tanjung Klayang Special Economic Zone is developed as an instrument for the economic transformation of Bangka Belitung from tin mining to tourism community. It is projected to absorb nearly 24,000 employees. In the future, Tanjung Klayang Special Economic Zone is ready to become a world-class tourist destination. He explained, the location of Tanjung Klayang Special Economic Zone is very strategic because Belitung Island is geographically located between Jakarta and Singapore, which is targeted as a captive target. So far, the Tanjung Klayang Special Economic Zone has succeeded in attracting investment by presenting an international hotel network. Minister Darmin Nasution hopes that the Tanjung Klayang Special Economic Zone can increase foreign exchange from tourism sector. The Special Economic Zone is expected to be able to attract 20 trillion rupiah in investment by 2025 and bring 59,000 tourists per year with an economic value 751.4 billion rupiah per year when this Special Economic Zone is fully operational. Meanwhile, Secretary of the Special Economic Zone National Council, Eno Suharto Pranoto, explained that in addition to the Tanjung Klayang, the National Council is currently reviewing two proposed Special Economic Zones in Bangka Belitung Province. They are Sungai Liat and in Bangka and Tanjung Gunung Regency in Central Bangka Regency. Both of these are expected to be established sooner. He added that to make it easier for investors who want to invest, the government has issued a policy of integrated business licensing system, which is also applied in a special economic zones. While listening, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Sayang padamu, tapi maaf sebatas teman saja. Dulu ku sepi, kamu yang selalu ku cari. Dulu ku sedih, kamu yang selalu ada di sekitarku untuk merangkukku. Kini ku senang dan kamu tak ku utamakan. Kamu tersinggung, berpikir ku menghindarmu. Kamu salah,
kamu salah.
Niatku bukan begitu. Ku menjauh karena bukan kamu. Ingin ku sayang padamu, tapi maaf sebatas teman saja. Bilang rindu, tapi
saja dulu. Kini kau ceritakan kisah kita,
kisah kita.
Aku kau sebut dengan julukan si pemberi harapan palsu.
Listener, that was the second song entitled Sebatas Teman, sung by Cheryl Seinavia. Well, listener, you still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World. And listener, for the next segment, we will present you the local wisdom and tourism information on our segment, Indonesian Wonder. Listener, in today's Indonesian Wonder, I will introduce you to Baru Embo Traditional House of East Nusa Tenggara. Stay tuned! East Nusa Tenggara has not only amazing natural tourism object, but also cultural tourism object, such as Baru Embo Traditional House, which is located at Mok Hamlet, Bengan Village, Komba District, East Manggarai Regency, East Nusa Tenggara Province. This traditional house is unique because it has never been occupied by human beings. Mok Hamlet is a place where Baru Embo Traditional House is Old Hamlet, which is occupied by Nangga tribe. The villagers believe that Baru Embo is a house for the ancestors. Couples of Embo Lenang and Embo Tuje were believed as the main elderlies and ancestors of the traditional house's occupants. In accordance with traditional demands, Baru Embo stands on hill, part of Hamlet's upstream. Its building has hollow circle shape with one point which is peak of its roof. The situation of the ancestors' house is always silent because it is unoccupied and its location is a little bit separated from around 50 to 200 meters of residential area. The location of Mok Hamlet has a distance of 30 kilometers in the north of Borong, the capital city of East Manggarai Regency. Visiting Hamlet is not difficult because its road has been paved. If you visit Baru Embo Traditional House, there are 5 rules which you must obey. Firstly, visitors must be at the outside of the house. Secondly, they are allowed to smoke. Thirdly, they do not wear red clothes. Fourthly, the visitors are allowed to take pictures of the traditional house. And the last rule is that visitors are allowed to carry out lighting tools. Well, listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder about Baru Village in East Manggarai Regency. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, you have just listened to the third song entitled Barat, sung by Baraswara, ex-scholar. For the next segment, we will present you a program, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, we will introduce you to some vocabulary and expressions, and we will also invite you to speak in Indonesian language. This program is a cooperation between Voice of Indonesia and Language Development and Cultivation Agency at Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio, introducing some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development and Cultivation Agency at the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is arah mata angin or wind direction. Next is a conversation about arah mata angin or in English, wind direction. Tony is at Prambanan Temple area along with a tour guide, Nina.
Selamat datang di kawasan Candi Prambanan. Di sini ada 4 gerbang, gerbang utara, timur, selatan, dan barat.
Oh, kalau sekarang kita ada di mana?
Gerbang timur. Gerbang timur adalah gerbang utama.
Percakapan tanggal 19 Maret 2019 alias Selasa. Mbak, candi apa yang ada di tengah?
Candi Siwa.
Lalu, apa yang di sebelah kiri Candi Siwa?
Candi Brahma.
Oh, kalau Candi Wisnu di mana?
Candi Wisnu ada di sebelah kanan Candi Siwa.
As usual, after the conversation, I'll introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Selamat datang di kawasan Candi Prambanan. Selamat datang di kawasan Candi Prambanan. In English, welcome to Prambanan Temple. Gerbang. In English, gate. Gerbang utama. Gerbang utama. In English, main gate. Sekarang kita ada di mana? Sekarang kita ada di mana? In English, where are we now? Utara. North. Timur. East. Selatan. South. Barat. West. There are 4 wind directions in the Indonesian language. They are utara or north, timur or east, selatan or south, and barat or west. The question which is usually asked in some tourism objects is like, pintu keluar ada di mana? Pintu keluar ada di mana? Or in English, where is the exit gate? The answer are di sebelah barat. Di sebelah barat. Or in English, on the west. Di sebelah utara. Di sebelah utara. In English, on the north. When someone answers by using wind directions, you have to know where you are, and of course, you also have to remember the direction of the wind in Indonesian language. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, for more details, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Selamat datang di kawasan Candi Prambanan. Di sini ada 4 gerbang. Gerbang utara, timur, selatan, dan barat.
Oh, kalau sekarang kita ada di mana?
Gerbang timur. Gerbang timur adalah gerbang utama.
Cakapan tanggal 19 Maret 2019 alias Selasa. Mbak, candi apa yang ada di tengah?
Candi Siwa.
Lalu, apa yang di sebelah kiri Candi Siwa?
Candi Brahma.
Oh, kalau Candi Wisnu di mana?
Candi Wisnu ada di sebelah kanan Candi Siwa.
Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia on the radio. Hopefully, this edition is helpful to those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow for more interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Suaramu takkan dapat tergantikan.
Suaraku.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, that was our song entitled Suara, sung by Gamaliel Audrey Cantika, or GAC. You still stay tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequency 3325 kHz and on our website www.voinews.id. Well, listener, for the next segment, we will inform you our Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Welcome back to Music Corner. Into this edition, I inform and present a Keroncong song titled Telaga Biru. The song Telaga Biru, which was composed by Arimah, is an original Keroncong song. It tells about the beauty of lake at night, glittering during the full moon. The songwriter Arimah did not only describe the real beauty, this song also illustrates the presence of angels who like and reside on the blue lake. Accompanied with thick keroncong music seems to bring the music lovers watching the beauty of the blue lake. Well, listener, here is the song Telaga Biru by S. Harni.
Bidadari yang bersuka ria.
Voice of Indonesia.
Mau tahu apa yang ada di mimpimu? Sudahkah terisi cerita yang kamu tunggu? Jika kamu ingin aku di sana, aku mau. Yang masih belum pasti, menahan rindu yang makin gak terkendali. Belum tahu harus gimana caranya menghindarimu. Menjauh pergi tetap ada kamu lagi. Pejamkan mata yang terlihat kamu lagi. Belum tahu harus gimana caranya menghindarimu. Mau tahu apa yang ada di mimpimu? Sudahkah terisi cerita yang kamu?
Oh,
listener, that was our segment, our English program for today's edition. And we would like to thank you for listening to our English program on Voice of Indonesia, shortwaves on frequency 3325 kHz. Listener, please give us your suggestions and also criticism through our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, @voiindonesia, and please send us your email to voi@voinews.id. Voi@voinews.id.